Semper Fi Do or Die. Hold 'em high at 8 tonight. Gunnery Sergeant R. Lee Ermey here.
The Military Exchange.
.com. What would we do without them? You better check it out. I'm not going to tell you about it. You just have to check it out for yourself. Hoorah, Semper Fi. Have a great day.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
We gotta make a run for his car! We'll never make it!
We'll never make a lion here, that's for goddamn sure. You ready?
No! No, I'm ready.
Serpentine!
What?
Serpentine!
What's the matter, cupcake? Winter's here and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts? Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more. And I'm here today with Armando Marinetti and Miss Tina Bloom, and we're going to talk about the civility that's not in today's politics and our war that we're currently facing.
So as a reminder, we came up with the name Civil War Radio because civil, we're using the definition as when people are acting politely and able to be civilized. So, and as far as the war goes, if you have a difference of opinion, we'll battle it out verbally, not physically. So just keep
going. Even verbally could be more civil. Civil.
I agree. No name calling. No use of foul language.
Open mind.
Open mind.
The ability to let the other person actually complete their thought without judgment, yeah. Which is not today.
So what we'll do is we'll model what we're preaching by our behavior. So today is Saturday, November 11th. But
Veterans Day.
Veterans Day, yes. So thank you to all our veterans for the courage that they displayed to serve our nation. And also, special thanks to the Marine Corps, because on Friday, November 10th, they celebrated their 242nd birthday.
That's right, and you can wish me a happy birthday for that, and that's actually a done thing. Even my dad calls me up and wishes me happy birthday
on the Marine Corps birthday. It's like a second birthday. We actually celebrate it like that. Once you're a Marine, that's your other birthday.
Once a Marine, always Marine, right?
Yep. Always. And there is no such thing as an ex-Marine. Yep. So it's a proud tradition for sure. There will be a lot of guys out on Friday night, you know, enjoying themselves and celebrating.
As they should.
Yeah. Well, one of my good friends, Glenn Skipper Anderson, that you know, and
I
Matt,
do.
He is a Marine, served in Vietnam, has two Purple Hearts, and I just wanted to congratulate him on his nomination to be one of the veterans recognized by the New York State Senate and our Senator Pam Helming. So on Thursday, he attended an event over at the Phelps American Legion, and it was very moving. A lot of families there. There was about seven other nominees as well, and I was lucky enough to attend it, and I really enjoyed it. Just a shout-out to Skip, and I want one more shout-out because my dad, who will be 88 years old on Veterans Day, he was born 11/11/1929, is a Korean War veteran. And thanks to him, I was able to join the American Legion here in Canandaigua as a son of the American Legion because he has an honorable discharge. So,
is that how the Legion works? So how do you maintain or obtain membership with them?
I only know my part, which is called the Sons of the American Legion. I never served in the military. But because my dad did and has an honorable discharge, I have to show the form. Tim, what's that form?
DD-214.
That DD-214, which he had. I was surprised. I didn't think he'd have it, but he had one of the old carbon copies. He said, you can have that. I brought it down to the American Legion, filled out the paperwork. I paid the annual dues of $20, and now I'm a member here of the American Legion in Canandaigua. And last weekend, I had to go out to Port Byron for an event that was held at the American Legion, just showed them my card, and they honored that card anywhere in the country.
That's incredible. So, that's a special kind of brotherhood.
Yeah, it is. It's been a good experience and education for me.
Do you guys know the history of Veterans Day? Or for the listeners out there, just a recap, do you guys know off the top of your head?
Boy.
Well, you know, what president, how does it apply to, like, Memorial Day? I don't know.
I don't either. You know, we were talking earlier off air about the brain.
Yeah.
So up there in our brains, I'm sure, Tim, you would agree with this. There is some, I'm sure I learned it somewhere.
Of course. Yeah, we probably all did in history class or, you know, along the way from parents. But
To find it.
Yeah. So just a recap on Veterans Day. At the end of World War One, kind of the unofficial end, I think it was 8 or 9 months prior to the actual ending in 1919, when fighting ceased during an armistice between the Allied nations and Germany on the 11th hour of the 11th month, on the 11th day, it was November 11th, 1918. They called it the end of the war to end all wars.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was the inception of Veterans Day, and that was in Versailles in France.
You know, now that you've said it,
you're like,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
There is a definition though between Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Very much.
Oh, definitely.
So
yeah.
Memorial Day, a day to remember and honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice while serving in our military. Veterans Day, a day to show appreciation to those who have served in our military and are still living. And people really should know the difference.
Yeah.
So Memorial Day is not the day you walk up and say, you know, thanks for serving. Oh, buddy, let's go have a beer. Not that day. But Veterans Day is a great day to be very happy to be around and show your support for the veterans that are still living.
And you taught me that, Tim, because I was here last Memorial Day, and I said, have a happy Memorial Day, which it may not be appropriate, because most of the people that we're remembering may not be with us. So,
right.
And there is a distinction that I will never forget, thanks to meeting you.
That's really neat.
Well,
that's
my big thing is to just, you know, I love to have a military talk show and impart Civil War radio is like the political arm to the military talk show, you know. But I don't want to do a Memorial Day service show, you know, 52 weeks a year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be sad all the time. There's an appropriate time. Yeah. It's not, and you know what? On Veterans Day, I would say it's not that day. You can toast a glass. You know it's going to get done anyways. So you should. You should always remember the people, but celebrate those that are with us now.
So here in Canandaigua, we have the Memorial Day Parade in May, and I will stand, you know, next to so many people that come out, which I think is amazing, and I hope the majority of those people know the true meaning of Memorial Day. But I'm telling you, when those folks come down Main Street, especially when the VA brings out some of the veterans, understandably, they're veterans, not honored by Memorial Day, but they're pushing that POW-MIA wheelchair, I just have tears streaming down my face. And those are the true people that, to Tim, your point, we're honoring on Memorial Day. Those that never came home, those that we lost serving our country.
And I think that's really what we're trying to do with Civil War Radio, is to remind people of our civics education and what's proper with different recognitions, such as Memorial Day versus Veterans Day. That's part of being a civilized society. There are certain things that we agree on, and we keep that going more than tradition, but as a way of life.
Absolutely.
So,
you know what I would like to bring to the show in future episodes? Etiquette. A lot of things like flag etiquette.
Perfect.
Even parades, things like that that are forgotten, that aren't followed anymore. And that's the source of an argument usually down the road. Right.
Who salutes.
Salutes.
At the Pledge of Allegiance.
Or a hand over your heart.
Yeah.
You know, in a suit, in a uniform.
Yep.
That would be good.
It would. But, guys, we are so far removed, I feel, in today's society from that. You see kids eating dinner at restaurants with baseball caps on, right? I mean, I think we've got a long way to go, but certainly starting somewhere, it's worthwhile. And I would encourage parents and community members that do have these events, whether it's a Memorial Day parade or something else, bring your kids out. Learn about the traditions of this country and what made it so great.
Yeah. And closely related to what we've been talking about, too, with the Marine Corps, I just want to make a brief mention. There's a good book out there. The gentleman that wrote it is Brian Kilmeade, who also appears on this WOKR 1310
right.
during the week.
And he's good.
He is good.
Yeah,
he
I like him.
He is good. I believe his...
He's in the morning, right?
9 to noon, I think, is his time slot.
Yeah, and if you want to listen to new talk radio, new, I won't say conservative talk, but it's conservative to middle. And if you want to enjoy a fresh voice, that's 1310 WOKR.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys are still playing the old regime, and, you know, they don't really get down to local radio like we're doing. But 1310 is bringing new, younger. So if you're like a millennial, I think Brian says he's the show for the millennials.
I think you're
like,
right.
Something like that, right? It's part of his... upbeat.
Yeah, and the book that I was referring to is it's titled Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, which explains some of the first overseas action that our U.S. Marines took in the Mediterranean and North Africa region way back in the 1780s. So I read it. My memory isn't so good.
The pants haven't been worn down as much.
Yes. So I have to review it again. But it was a very good book. It's a history book, but it's written as a story where he uses the actual people from history as characters in the story. But it's not made up. It's based on actual people, actual occurrences.
I think sometimes that's the easiest way to remember history and to apply it when somebody puts it in a story format, because we can all look at facts and data, but it's difficult. And we were talking about this, right, guys? When you look at numbers and dates, we were talking about remembering phone numbers. It's in one ear and out the other. If you put it into a story, it kind of creates a picture in your head, and that's easier to recall.
I agree.
Right. Names, places, and dates, that's all we grew up with.
Yeah.
That really didn't help me understand our history or form an opinion or really get to enjoy it or understand it. It's just names, dates, and places. You could say, you know, that stuff. I wish I had a great example, but I don't. But, you know, it didn't teach me anything. Yeah. These kind of books like this, that makes you want to learn.
one of the best historical stories or novels, and it's kind of bordering fiction, nonfiction. This is somewhat tangential, so I apologize, was Devil in the White City. Did you guys ever read that book?
No, I don't know that one.
One of the best I've ever read, and it was about the World's Fair. And just, you know, the uprising, it followed the story of the serial killer in Chicago, but it also the first World's Fair and, you know, Pittsburgh Steel and things like that. Just so much history in the book. But I learned a lot about history by reading this story, and it sounds like this has a lot of parallels to that.
Wow. Yeah. So what about the pirates in the Marine Corps?
I'm going to let you find out. You know, I'm always a big believer in having people, listeners, you know, do their own research. So
you're always giving me homework.
I am. Yeah, that's my teacherism.
Ism.
Last mention about Veterans Day, too. Here at our American Legion on Main Street in Canandaigua, this is a shameless plug for the food's good there. So if you get a chance, go see Mike Butcher, Fat Man's Catering, because his food's pretty good there. Yeah, Tim knows. I think he's
Fat Man's Catering.
Yeah, he's a gentleman from Fairport, and if I'm not mistaken, we cover from Fairport to Victor to Canandaigua and maybe close to Geneva.
I heard us all the way out in Geneva, a little bit further, and I was in Rochester, of course, and Avon. I can hear us all the way out there.
And Tim, you grew up in Fairport.
I
grew
Irondequoit.
Up in Irondequoit. Okay, didn't you spend a little time in Fairport?
No.
Oh,
just crossing that
Fairport.
Bridge once in a while, maybe.
All right, there's another Tim. I apologize, but I grew up in East Rochester. My kids all went to Canandaigua, so that seems to be the territory that we're touching.
That's where you went to get into a fight.
Where Fairport? East Rochester or Fairport?
Always.
No.
What was the name of that bar? It was called the
stop.
Train or the
stop.
Railroad or
stop.
What was it? What's
the
that
other
name?
Side of the? No, that was in Pittsburgh.
Did you East Rochester or Fairport?
East Rochester.
East Rochester. Oh.
You know the
yeah.
Depot. What was the name of that place?
The up by the tracks there.
Yeah.
Was it the other side of the tracks? No.
Well, no. It was like the depot, the train, the junction.
I know what you're talking about. It was right there in the north end of the village. Yeah, that and Checo's Cabana was another place you could go.
Oh, and get
rumble.
In trouble?
Yeah.
Hey, this is civil radio,
yeah,
guys.
That's right.
Civil.
Let's
not talk
See?
About fights.
Thank
you.
Good example of not being civil. So, well, we just had a big election. Tell us what you guys think about the election. You're both very in tune with
you
that.
You want to go first?
Go for it.
All right. I'm not going to talk about candidates and the outcome. I'm going to talk more about elections in general. To me, I always vote because it's a way to say thank you for those veterans that we mentioned earlier. Those men and women were willing to shed blood to protect our right to vote. So in honor of them, I go vote. But I noticed something this past. I vote in the town of Canandaigua, and I think it's a disturbing trend that we should keep our eyes on. There's less choices on the ballot. There's names there for the positions, but they're uncontested. So there's many people that are running unopposed. So I don't remember the exact number. This is probably about 10 different positions to vote for, elected positions. And I think there was only maybe two or three that were actually contested where there was an opponent.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm bringing this up, Tim, you know I enjoy history. I taught history in the city of Rochester, and I find it being dangerous if we continue this trend, because we, the people, won't be picking our governing class anymore. It's being picked by people behind the scenes. I want to maybe political parties, maybe administrators, as opposed to elected officials.
So it's an interesting point, Armand. I see what you're talking about. So in the town of Canandaigua, we did have a supervisor's race. There were two candidates there, for highway superintendent, for town clerk, town council. None of those were opposed. There was an opposed town council race in the primary.
Okay.
Which I knew a little something about. But yeah, not a lot of opposition. But I think that I would disagree that people behind the scenes are making the call on that, only because I feel the accountability and responsibility is to the people. Like you said, we go out and vote because people fought for that right. I feel the same way. If you're not happy with the way your government's being run, with the way things are in your town or city, get involved and run. I ran a race politically the first time this year, never done it before, without anybody's help. I went out and petitioned myself. Just go down to the Board of Elections. You tell them what you want to run for. You get a certain amount of names to show up on the ballot, and you're there. So nobody decided whether or not I was there other than myself and the amount of time I had to work and get those signatures. So I think more people do need to get involved. And you're right. I mean, the lack of choice is disappointing. But what are you going to do if nobody else throws their hat in the ring? It's difficult. It's difficult.
Well, you know, and my biggest thing about local elections is this is really where you get to have a voice, where it matters. You know, especially in upstate New York, where we're faced with New York City, you know, on a national level in voting. And I'm not saying that we can't turn something around, because we can. We almost proved that last governor election. But here, I actually get to meet the candidates. I get to know about them. I get to vote on things that matter around my life. And the other thing is, I really don't look at parties. I know that there should be opposed, but the truth is, a good man or a good woman can run on any party, and that's the one you want to vote that affects your life the most, the way you want to see it go. You know, you vote for that person. That's how my dad always told me anyways. The other thing I'm noticing is it's strategy now, which is something I love. So you run on Republican and Democratic and Independent and Conservative and who knows, these other crazy names like No Bull, Bull Moose, not all those probably, but at least the first four. There's candidates who have run on all four. Well, now who's going to oppose them? So they can run on the lower ones, right, or the less known is probably a better way to say it. But, you know, when you're voting, you're trained to look at your party and go, well, I don't know that name, but they're on the Democrat line or they're on the Republican line. So
and that's
instead of giving this guy down here a shot, I'll just go straight across the board. Now, I don't, but when I don't know a name, what am I supposed to do, right? And I don't think, obviously, if you can run Democrat, Republican, Independent, Conservative, although back during Kennedy's days, those four were a lot closer than they are today, but at least then you would know. But now, how do you know what they're really running for? And so if they run on all four, what are you supposed to do with that?
I have a thought, but Tina, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think that's where the primary process comes into play. You may have a number of people running on the Republican line, the Democrat line, conservative, reform. And based on the results of that primary vote is who gets put on the final ballot for the general election. And so few people get involved in that primary process or actually go out and vote in the primary that then they act surprised in the general when the same person appears on all of these lines. Well, if you wanted somebody different, it was your responsibility to get out and vote. You have that right and that privilege living in the United States.
And I think that's a goal of the Civil War Radio, is to help people be more informed and educated about the candidates and the positions, as well as policy, because that's what politics comes from, is making policy. I found out that I am classified as officially unaffiliated. That's my classification. I've never been a part of the Republican or Democrat Party. I lean to be more conservative, which I define as somebody that wants to keep and improve what works and get rid of what we know won't. So I don't like being pigeonholed. I want to hear from both sides. And I've been around politics since my late teens, 40-ish years, 40-something years, and I sense that when somebody asks, oh, are you a Republican or Democrat, and you don't give the proper choice, you're going to be limited into what information you'll receive as far as, oh, you know, if I'm a Republican, the Democrats don't want to waste their time with me. If I'm a Democrat, the Republicans don't want to waste their time with me. So I think it was George Washington in his farewell address warned us about factions. And some people, historians, have interpreted that to mean political parties, because that's when they were starting back during his time.
I think locally, honestly, I don't even know why there is one. And when I was listening to the big station around here, WHAM, during the election day, and they kept beating the fact that the Democrats are taking over, that they've won. And true, they did get two governorships, right? Now, that matters as far as political
New Jersey and Virginia.
Yeah, but what does it matter if it's the town of Canandaigua or if it's, you know, Hopewell or something else in Monroe County? And when Mike Yarger, which I got to throw this plug in there, the station allowed us to do the Ontario County election news for, I think it was, must have been Wednesday night.
Tuesday night.
Oh, it was Tuesday night that we put it
on the election.
There?
Oh, that's when I think it was recorded. Yeah, Tuesday night, but you may have aired it Wednesday. I apologize.
Yeah, Wednesday at 6 p.m. They actually allowed us on the air, and they've said we would like you guys to come back and do a weekly Ontario County news update. You know, once a week, but that's actually a pretty good compliment for our show.
Yeah.
So anyways, when Mike read everybody, and I mean he read everybody, which they have that right. They ran for office. They won. They put all that hard work into it. Or even if they didn't win, right, they deserve to have their name thrown out there. By the way, he plugged you on the air.
Oh, is that right? Oh, no. Do I want to know how?
He still threw your name out there, which is great.
I got some write-ins.
I think he's got – well, that's what we talked about, right? Yeah. You had 10 write-ins?
I had something approaching 30 or 40 30? On both lines. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
That
takes a lot more, right? When you want to do a write-in, right, you're really saying
I don't know of any
it.
Local write-in campaigns that have been successful in recent history, which is fine. I had absolutely no illusion that I was going to take anything in the general. I was just happy to be part of the process. I was part of Greg Westbrook's campaign, which I was really excited about and happy to see his victory. Coming, though, that we're talking about parties, how do you guys feel about cross-endorsements? So the Democratic Party endorsing a Republican candidate or vice versa, because there has been some controversy of late with parties doing that. Do you think that's appropriate?
Well, I think if there is really only one person running and they can get the endorsement from other different parties, especially ones where, you know, like they say, you'd have to cross the line to reach out and get them to work with you, I'm all for that. I would rather there was no party affiliate with local politics. Then let me just concentrate on what that person wants to run as, you know, or as their platform, you know, instead of party getting in the way and party getting in the way of money and, you know, even with the primaries, because there's games playing in there. You know, there's a strategy,
and
which is fine. But if you're like say, Craig, right, and he was endorsed, well, he was on both parties, Democrat and Republican.
Correct.
See, so what would you do with that? You'd just say, wow, he must be quite the guy, right? To get the endorsement of both. But on the other end, like Armin's saying, right, that there should be an opposition.
Right.
But what I've seen lately, since I've been doing more of this, especially in Ontario County, a lot of guys throw their hat in the ring because there should be opposition, but they're really not out there campaigning. So you can throw it in there just to be that other party that's, you know,
a dark horse.
A dark horse, right? But really put some effort into it if you really want the job, mm-hmm. right, or you want to serve. And it shouldn't be a job to you, then
right.
that's
Key
what
point.
I want to see.
It's supposed to be service. And you hit a nerve with me with regards to endorsements. I'm going to speak first about endorsements from public businesses such as a newspaper, which I never saw a need for a newspaper to endorse a candidate. That, to me, seems a little stinky.
Because their post has been doing that lately with a few things.
Well, it's not just them. The Democrat and Chronicle, the Times Union. I mean, New York Times, not the Times Union. But I don't
there
think,
was an old memory.
Yeah.
The afternoon paper.
The afternoon paper. But I don't think that's appropriate, because why would a media source such as a newspaper feel it necessary to endorse a candidate? Did they contribute more to advertising? I don't know. Or is it because they have a leaning, whether it be Democrat, Republican, that they want to sway their subscribers with? Now, as far as...
Isn't that what commentary was supposed to be for in a newspaper?
Commentary is different than endorsement, right?
A reporter is supposed to report the news fairly and indiscriminately, but a commentary can always be brought up. But that's not exactly... how it's perceived if it's not what they're doing.
Okay. Right? You know, yeah, I don't think so. It's not
Andy Rooney, it was his commentary, and he'd tell you what he really thought. And yeah. I like that. There's room for that. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, but endorsement is beyond commentary. Endorsement is saying, we want this man or woman to win.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So a newspaper should be more neutral.
I agree. And as far as the parties go, you know, I have mixed emotions about that. Because mm-hmm. I've often wondered if there's a candidate that is supported or cross-endorsed by both parties, I have no choice then. Because everybody is hurting me as a voter to this one individual. I'm not comfortable with that.
See, and I totally understand where you're coming from. So in a situation like the supervisor's race, when there wasn't a Democratic opponent, is your opinion then that the Democratic Party should just sit back and kind of take the year off? We don't have a candidate, so we're going to stay out of this? Or do you think if they believe that the Republican candidate's decent, that they should, you know, if they interview them and they do their due diligence, it's okay for them to say, you know what, we're going to endorse this candidate as well?
I think I need a deeper explanation as to why they don't feel there's somebody qualified to do the job from their ranks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you explain why? Nobody stepped up? Is it that simple? I don't know.
Well, what is the Democrat Party doing in Ontario County? Because it's great that they've endorsed somebody, right? But even with the DA race, district attorney race, there was never anybody on the Democrat side at all. It was either Kitty or Jim Ritz, right? And they both wanted the Republican nod, and then Jim got it, and you know, Kitty stayed on the ticket because she was, I think, independent also, maybe even conservative.
Reform.
Mm-hmm. Oh, reform?
Yep, and independent conservative. Yep, so she was on a few lines.
But the Democrat Party didn't throw anybody out there. And I think a lot of people would say, Mike kept saying this on the news, you know, you got to be a certain party to win in a certain area. So do the Democrats in Ontario County think that they really don't have a horse in the race because we're more Republican up here?
I certainly can't speak for them, but for some reason my gut instinct is to say no on that.
I hope so. I'm being antagonistic.
Yeah, and do we feel that it's the party's responsibility to always put a candidate up for every race in every election? I mean, if they feel that they don't have someone as strong, or like we were talking about before, no one steps up and says, I want to do this, at that point, what's the party's responsibility? You know, and I feel that they've done the responsible thing and said, let's interview the candidates that are running, independent, Republican, otherwise, and, you know, put their weight behind who they feel would best represent the town in the capacity that they want to run for.
And I like that better because it's just more a waste of money to throw somebody in there just for the sake of throwing them in there.
Mm-hmm.
But as a people, we should want to have, not so much as the people, we should want to have people run against us. But there should be somebody else out there mm-hmm. who wants that job, too.
It's always good to have choice.
Yeah, I agree. And here's my fear. I'm going to get a little bit Art Bellish on us for a second here, so forgive me. But there is the tendency for us to let other people do the work. So is the deep state or an administrative state growing, where we really are going through a facade of having a choice by going and voting the first Tuesday in November, but the vote, once the person is in there, doesn't matter because he's being or she's being told what to do by the administrative state. So referring to recent history, on the national level, a lot of people are upset with their choices for Congress because they don't see much difference happening. They might have voted for somebody because they wanted to get rid of the established elite in Washington, D.C., and when they did replace them, nothing really changed. So Tim, we've talked about this, voter-inspired term limits, vital. I think what we have to do is educate voters and motivate them to get out there and do something so that we do have more choices. Maybe the result of not having choices is because if you look at the numbers, less than half of qualified voters actually show up to vote.
They're talking about changing that now to Saturday. they're going to get rid of the old farmers voting on Tuesday.
I was just going to ask if you knew why elections were held on Tuesdays, but it sounds like you do.
Only because they want to change it. So they brought up sure. that it used to be a
Farmers
would come in today, right.
So they would go into town. Yeah. Yep, so everybody was in town on a Tuesday, so they figured with the general population there, mm-hmm. let's have a Tuesday as voting day.
Let me ask you this. So there's a, there's some GOP candidate that's on the news today, and some kind of accusations about probably sexual impropriety. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, I mean, just, you know, Hillary, Trump, and everybody else, and Bernie, and mm-hmm. those that ran for president and all the other ones, and to the level that they can get broken down and the skeletons in the closet and everything else, you know, in a world where I don't want to see political correctness, PC, mm-hmm. where I can't even order Greek meaty hot sauce. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to say the word Greek anymore.
Are you kidding me?
I got corrected in a restaurant.
Oh, my.
So, but at the same time, I want some kind of political correctness or some kind of decency that when a politician runs, that they don't find every scrap of dirt and drag it into the future so that that guy has no credibility anymore. It probably can't even, would like to move out of the country afterwards. So saying that, right, who would run for office? Why would you even want it? Unless you're squeaky clean, what would be the point? And how do you really get through life squeaky clean if there really is anybody?
And I think that's where a good point gets brought up. It's a lot of work to run for office. Like we talked about, even just the petitioning process to get on a ballot is very difficult. But knowing that your life and every decision you've made up until that point could be discovered and put in the public domain, a lot of people just don't want that type of exposure.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I looked up, I was reading the Old Testament one time, and I saw the word elect in there, and I said, I know they didn't have elections back during Moses' day, okay? Yeah. So I had to look up, you know, the origin of the word elect. Well, back when everything was in Greek and Latin, elect meant chosen by God. And now we use it for us to choose.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I love the history behind that.
Yeah, I got goosebumps when I read that. Like, really? That's because I, you know, in the Old Testament, why are they using the word elect?
We are so far removed from that today.
There's actually a verse in the Bible that says that we're supposed to honor and, honor, respect. I want to say obey, but we are told that the people that are elected over us, elected officials, this goes for the military or like the police, that we're supposed to respect them and obey them. So they're put there by God through, like, divine, you
intervention.
Know, intervention or something. So that way we're supposed to, like, give into that authority is the big thing. Hmm. That's the word I think I'm looking for. So there's actually a verse that talks about that.
Yeah.
So when, you know, if the law of the land is this, just because religiously you want to go somewhere else or do something differently, not quite the way it reads. You're mm-hmm. supposed to obey mm-hmm. those regulations
mm-hmm.
To a point
yeah.
until they interfere with true worship of God and beliefs. I mean, you know, the law of the land can't be go out and break one of the Ten Commandments yep. and it's now allowed.
Yep.
That would be above and beyond that.
That's a good topic, too, for a future program because people like Thomas Aquinas, who wrote about law and things as unjust
mm-hmm,
law,
mm-hmm.
Really brought that information to the point where people, the general public, could start understanding and learning. Who are these people that rule over us? Are they different than us just because of their last name, where they live? Is that really the way it is?
Well, God's supposed to have more power than that. Mm-hmm. So if he intervenes or it happened, it's because it was meant to happen.
Okay.
But, you know, I really struggle, and I have a lot of things like that. Like I call a lot of beliefs pinball Christianity. And, you know, where you're just flapping the flappers around and, you know, hey, well, it must have been God's will. And I have a problem with that. You know, so you know what else I struggled with a lot? I mean, we're talking multitudes of praying, hours, and deliberation in my own head to decide on the SAFE Act, to what it could lead to, and to what point am I going to obey the authority over me, right? So after all things said, a lot of people say if you go for confiscation, we're in it for the fight. But in it for the fight at the very beginning would mean going against local law enforcement if they're used against us, which they might not be. Because really, they're regular guys like us. They have families right here. And they believe, most of them believe, that they're against the SAFE Act also. But they have to enforce it. So is my life more important than that officer's life if he's doing his job? Than my own rights, which I take my civil rights, my Second Amendment rights, like my religion? And my answer really is, this is not going to make people happy. No. My life is not worth his life in the action of duty. So I will concede. And that took a lot for me to come to that. But it's mostly because I don't see myself as more important than the officer's life in my area.
But you're viewing that police officer as a person, you know, and in life it's a brotherhood. I mean, we're all equal. We're all truly equal. We're doing different things in our vocations and in our professions, and their job is just to enforce what government has told them to enforce. But I think that the conclusion you arrived at, Tim, is more than reasonable, and I can understand kind of the conflict, the internal conflict involved in making that decision. But in the end, we're all people, and it comes back to the overarching theme of the show is civility and arriving at the same conclusions. Even though we might not agree on the same thing, we can agree to disagree, but still be kind to each other.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here.
Well,
I'm glad you said that, because that was a thought going through my mind. That's the reason for Civil War Radio. And if you listeners feel like you would like to comment, Tim created a Facebook page. You have to join, right? I think as a member of the group, is that
right, you request to join Civil War Radio,
yeah,
and then I'll approve you, and I'll approve everybody until somebody that
is uncivil.
There you go.
Then they're out.
Simple.
But I'd love to have more discourse and members. I do got to say one thing about conceding to law enforcement and military, U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
If it wears a blue hat, I'm not giving in. That's a little plug for
the
rest
light blue
of us.
Is that what you're talking about when you say the
light? If it's blue, that kind of light blue, like a beret?
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, see, here's the assumption
that
we're all living with, is that the person on the other side of that equation is like us.
Right.
That could be a fault and a dangerous assumption, okay? Because we've seen throughout our lifetimes where there are people that do become authoritative and abuse it.
Yes, and there are bad apples in everything, right? And I guess it's a romantic notion of me to think that everybody has my same goodwill or heart at the core of them as well, which we all have differing values, right? But my hope would be everybody deep down is good.
That's right.
I got to go.
Armin's got to go. He's got a big thing to go to today. So... thank you, Armin.
Yes, thank you very much.
It was great.
And, stay tuned, and we'll talk again soon.
Civil War Radio with Armando Marinetti and Miss Tina Bloom and Corporal Tim Thornton. And we'll be right back after these messages.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
back to the Military Exchange Talk Show. I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and I'm here today with Courtney from Thompson Health, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the group of veterans down at Thompson under her care.
Yep. So at Thompson Health, we have a pretty diverse group of veterans. Every year, we like to honor their service. So for Veterans Day, we have a really special lunch for them
Who am I?
Yeah, I forgot.
Tim from Iron Mike's Military Exchange.
Okay, wait, I gotta write that down.
Welcome back to the Iron Mike's Military Exchange Talk Show. This is Military Talk, and it's about our veterans, and it's Veterans Day. And I'm here with Courtney Partington. She's from Thompson Health. She's going to tell us about her organization, the department she works at, and the veterans that are there that don't get quite the attention that other vets do get in the city of Canandaigua. So did you know that there's over 30 veterans in the Ewing?
Yep.
What's the name of the place?
Continuing Care Center, MM Ewing.
Over at
Thompson Health. Yep.
Tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, so we have a great group. As you know, it's over 30. Some are men, some are women. We have representation from all the different branches. And they're a great group of people. They stay active. They're great to talk with. You know, they've got great stories, and, you know, they love having company. And, so we like to honor them every year with our Veterans Day lunch. Yep.
That's nice. And so you're going to have a dinner for them or
yep.
a lunch.
Yep.
And we're at the Military Exchange, we're donating little military desktop flags specifically to each veteran. So if there's, you know, so many Army, they get that many flags, Coast Guard, Air Force. I believe there's somebody from every single branch.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. Yep, it's a great group of people, and something we have annually is this lunch, so it's definitely something they look forward to and their family members look forward to. So we're very fortunate that, you know, Tim from Iron Mike's Military Exchange can help us and support us.
No, we do every year, and we enjoy it, and I think it's important to note that there's other veterans in other communities, and they deserve our attention and care, as obviously Thompson is doing a great job doing that. But more specifically, they're paying attention to the fact that they are military veterans and showing them that respect and love. And Courtney, lovely young lady who really cares about where she works. And anything else you can say? Is there a way to contact somebody if they wanted to help out or do more?
Definitely. If you contacted the reception desk at MMU and Continuing Care Center, they could definitely direct you to the right place. We're always looking for volunteers. These folks are great folks, and they love having company, and we always need help with different programs and things. So, yep, feel free to reach out to us.
That's great. Thanks, Courtney.
Yep, thank you.
Welcome back to Three Men and a Microphone. This is our segment, Military Talk, and I'm Corporal Tim Thornton. I got a little USMC mindset that I thought I'd share. A little PSA, public service announcement. If you don't have an EGA, some of this will not make sense to you. This week, Marines will celebrate the birthday of the Marine Corps and the birth of our most fearless leader, Chesty Puller. We will also herald the leadership of James Mattis, Smedley Butler, Dan Daly, and E. Toole Smith. You see, boys and girls, our first recruiter, Robert Mullen, worked in a bar because our service was founded in a bar. We are a breed, not a service. So here are a few things to keep in mind. Do not be a jerk and say to a Marine, "I almost joined the Marines." It is like saying, "I train UFC while wearing a tap-out shirt." If you're a woman, a female, you can show your appreciation to another Marine. Studies have shown that female attention to a Marine will cure cancer. If you are not a Marine, you can buy a Marine a shot, not a beer. If you drink, get right to the point. Don't ask them if they ever killed anyone, because they will reply, "Who said I am done?" There is no such thing as an ex-Marine. The only ex-Marines are dead, and even then, they are wearing chucks on duty guarding the streets of heaven. Under no circumstances should you touch a Marine's medals. He will kill you and have 200 alibis, and God himself will vouch for him. All Marines took an oath to defend this country. It never expires as long as they are alive. Most Marines would walk into combat tomorrow if need be. Even if they are disabled, they can still call in fire or spot. If you see a guy wearing a hat that looks like the last letters of Scrabble that spell out Peleliu, Hugh City, Da Nang, a Shah, that man is bad mofo. Say, welcome home. We were here before the country was formed, and we will be here for a long time to come. Get used to it, because every man and woman who has an EGA is a brother or a sister. To all you Zoomies and Squidberts, we would like to try to explain this to you, but, well, you know, we've run out of crayons. Have a good week, Marines. Happy 242nd birthday, and Semper Fi.
The Military Exchange.
The President of the United States. Gavin. Gleason. Members of the military forces. Veterans. Fellow Americans. Today we are here to celebrate and to honor and to commemorate the dead and the living. The young men who in every war since this country began have given testimony to their loyalty to their country and their own great courage. I do not believe that any nation in the history of the world has buried its soldiers further from its native soil than we Americans, or buried them closer to the towns in which they grew up. We celebrate this Veterans Day for a very few minutes, a few seconds of silence, and then this country's life goes on. But I think it most appropriate that we recall on this occasion and on every other moment when we are faced with great responsibilities, the contribution and the sacrifice which so many men and their families have made in order to permit this country to now occupy its present position of responsibility and freedom, and in order to permit us to gather here together. Bruce Catton, after totaling the casualties which took place in the Battle of Antietam, not so very far from this cemetery, when he looked at statistics which showed that in the short space of a few minutes, whole regiments lost 50 to 75% of their numbers, then wrote that life perhaps isn't the most precious gift of all, that men died for the possession of a few feet of a cornfield or a rocky hill, or for almost nothing at all. But in a very larger sense, they died that this country might permit it to go on, and that it might permit it to be fulfilled, the great hopes of its founders. In a world tormented by tension and the possibilities of conflict, we meet in a quiet commemoration of an historic day of peace. In an age that threatens the survival of freedom, we join together to honor those who made our freedom possible. The resolution of the Congress, which first proclaimed Armistice Day, described November 11, 1918, as the end of the most destructive, sanguinary, and far-reaching war in the history of human annals. That resolution expressed the hope that the First World War would be, in truth, the war to end all wars. It suggested that those men who had died had therefore not given their lives in vain. It is a tragic fact that these hopes have not been fulfilled, that wars still more destructive and still more sanguinary followed, that man's capacity to devise new ways of killing his fellow man has far outstripped his capacity to live in peace with his fellow man. Some might say, therefore, that this day has lost its meaning, that the shadow of the new and deadly weapons have robbed this day of its great value, that whatever name we now give to this day, whatever flags we fly or prayers we utter, it is too late to honor those who died before and too soon to promise the living an end to organized death. But let us not forget that November 11th, 1918, signified a beginning as well as an end. The purpose of all war, said Augustine, is peace. The First World War produced man's first great effort in recent times to solve by international cooperation the problems of war. That experiment continues in our present day, still imperfect, still short of its responsibility, but it does offer a hope that someday nations can live in harmony. For our part, we shall achieve that peace only with patience and perseverance and courage. The patience and perseverance necessary to work with allies of diverse interests but common goals. The courage necessary over a long period of time to overcome an adversary skilled in the art of harassment and obstruction. There is no way to maintain the frontiers of freedom without cost and commitment and risk. There is no swift and easy path to peace in our generation. No man who witnessed the tragedy of the last war, no man who can imagine the unimaginable possibilities of the next war, can advocate war out of irritability or frustration or impatience. But let no nation confuse our perseverance and patience with fear of war or unwillingness to meet our responsibilities. We cannot save ourselves by abandoning those who are associated with us or rejecting our responsibilities. In the end, the only way to maintain the peace is to be prepared in the final extreme to fight for our country and to mean it. As a nation, we have little capacity for deception. We can convince friend and foe alike that we are in earnest about the defense of freedom only if we are in earnest. And I can assure the world that we are. This cemetery was first established 97 years ago. In this hill were first buried men who died in an earlier war, a savage war here in our own country. 99 years ago today, the men in gray were retiring from Antietam, where thousands of their comrades had fallen between dawn and dusk in one terrible day. And the men in blue were moving towards Fredericksburg, where thousands would soon lie by a stone wall in heroic and sometimes miserable death. It was a cruel moment in our nation's history. But these memories, sad and proud, these quiet grounds, this cemetery and others like it all around the world remind us with pride of our obligation and our opportunity. On this Veterans Day of 1961, on this day of remembrance, let us pray in the name of those who have fallen in this country's wars, and most especially who have fallen in the First World War and in the Second World War, that there will be no veterans of any further war, not because all shall have perished but because all shall have learned to live together in peace. And to the dead here, in this cemetery, we say they are the race. They are the race immortal, whose beams make broad the common light of day. Though time may dim, though death has barred their portal, these we salute, which nameless passed away. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Hour 2 of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.